The following is from page 132 of the printed edition. Albania Overview. Land. Albania is located in southeastern Europe, north of Greece and east of the heel of Italy's boot. It covers 11,100 square miles, and its 225-mile coastline stretches along the Adriatic and Ionian Seas. White sandy beaches and turquoise waters with a backdrop of tall mountains adorn Albania's Riviera, which extends from Vlorë to Sarand. The north and the interior of the country are filled with jagged mountain ranges, whereas the southwest has fertile lowlands used for farming. Population. The population is estimated at 3,600,000 and is mostly made up of ethnic Albanians, with a small percentage of Roma, Greek, and Serbian ethnic groups. Climate. Along southern coastal flat areas, summers average 80 degrees Fahrenheit. Yet, in the northern mountains of Deber in the winter, temperatures drop to as low as minus 10 degrees Fahrenheit. Food. A pie with a flaky crust filled with spinach, cheese, tomatoes, and onions, or with a variety of other vegetable or meat fillings, is called burek. Chicken or lamb baked in a savory yogurt and dill sauce is tava e kosit. Albanians love eating with a spoon, as soups and stews are common. Often on special occasions when lamb is on the menu, the honored guest will be served the head. Among Albania's many desserts are baklava and kadaif, which are baked pastry dough covered with syrup or honey and nuts. For an Albanian, bread is a staple. If you want to tell someone that you have eaten, you simply say, hungra buk, meaning, I ate bread. Albania. Albania is a small land with a rich, complex story. It has been traversed by tribes and nations, buffeted by world powers, and subjected to decades of radical isolation. While Jehovah's Witnesses here have faced many challenges and much adversity, Jehovah God has sustained and blessed them with delightful spiritual prosperity. The following briefly portrays their exciting history and shows how the hand of Jehovah has supported his humble servants in this land. Acts 11:21. For centuries, foreign powers struggled for control of Albania, and with their struggle they brought religious conflict. By the early 1500s, the area was religiously divided, with some people professing to be Muslim, others Orthodox, and still others Catholic. The late 1800s saw the rise of Albanian nationalism and the formation of many patriotic societies. Most people in Albania were peasants, and many blamed years of foreign intervention for their poverty. By 1900, autonomy and independence were burning issues that sparked wars with Greece, Serbia, and Turkey. Eventually, in 1912, Albania declared itself an independent country. Later, government policy virtually eliminated the practice of organized religion. After World War II, communist authorities abolished all religion and hailed Albania as the world's first atheist state. Taking hold of the truth with joy. Before 56 CE, the Apostle Paul reported that he and his companions had thoroughly preached the good news as far as Illyricum, a Roman province that included part of what is today Albania, Romans 15:19. It is quite likely that some in the region became true Christians at that time, for secular history reports that Christianity took root in Albania in the first century. The first modern record of true worship in this general area was in 1921, when John Bostoyanis wrote to Brooklyn Bethel from Crete about visiting the Bible study class in Ioannina, now a part of northern Greece. At about the same time, many Albanians settled in New England in the United States, including Thanas or Nasho Idrizi and Costa Mitchell. When they learned the truth, they immediately got baptized. Brother Idrizi went back to Gjirokastër, Albania in 1922, the first Albanian to return to his country with Bible truths. Jehovah blessed his self-sacrificing spirit, and people began to respond. Soon, other believing Albanians living in America followed him back home. In the meantime, Costa Mitchell continued preaching in the Albanian field in Boston, Massachusetts, USA. The following is from page 134 of the printed edition. Early conventions. Aside from the Albanian public meetings on Sunday, the Albanians in New England, USA, generally associated with English or Greek congregations. During the 1920s and 1930s, the Albanians enjoyed attending conventions held in the Greek language. Still, they were happy to have their own language badge, which read, Albanian Bible Students 3-Day Convention. Returning to the account, Sokrat and Thanas Duli, also known as Athan Dulis, were born in Albania but were taken to Turkey as boys. Sokrat returned to Albania in 1922. The following year, 14-year-old Thanas also went back, looking for his brother. On arrival at our old home, he wrote, I did not immediately find my brother, for he was working some 125 miles away. But I did find the watchtower, the Bible, and 7 volumes of studies in the scriptures, as well as other pamphlets on Bible topics. Evidently, even in that remote mountain district, there were active Bible students who had been to America and brought back with them a familiarity with the Bible and a love for it. When the two finally met, Sokrat, by then a baptized Bible student, did not hold back from teaching his brother Thanas the truth. In 1924, the Romania office was assigned to oversee the newly opened field in Albania. Although the witness work was still limited, the Watchtower of December 1, 1925 reported, The Harp of God, also the Desirable Government and the World Distress booklets were translated and printed in the native tongue. A goodly number have been placed in the hands of the people, and the Albanians are taking hold of the truth with much joy. During that time, Albania was torn apart by political strife. What, though, about Jehovah's servants? In 1925, there were 3 organized congregations in Albania, as well as isolated Bible students, wrote Thanas. He also noted that the love among them was in sharp contrast to the strife, egotism, and competition of the people around them. While many Albanians were leaving the country, others who had learned the truth were returning, eager to teach their relatives about Christ's newly established kingdom. Meanwhile, back in Boston, public talks were being delivered in the Albanian language on Sunday mornings to audiences of about 60 people. Those in attendance were serious students who loved to pore over the volumes of the studies in the scriptures. The book The Harp of God was also thoroughly studied, despite some translation errors. For example, the title was first translated, The Guitar of God. Nevertheless, this book helped scores of Albanians learn Bible truth and build a strong faith. Don't bother them. In 1926, the Watchtower reported that in Albania, 13 had attended the memorial of Christ's death. There are only about 15 consecrated brethren in Albania, said the 1927 yearbook, and these are doing their best to spread the message of the kingdom. The yearbook stated, In America, there are about 30 consecrated Albanian brethren, and these are anxious to assist their fellow countrymen to get a knowledge of the truth. The 15 brothers in Albania rejoiced to have 27 at the memorial in 1927. More than twice the number that had attended the previous year. During the late 1920s, there was still much political turmoil in Albania. A government led by Fan Noli, an Orthodox bishop, briefly seized power, only to be toppled by President Ahmed Bey Zogu. He proclaimed Albania a kingdom in which he, as King Zog I, had the final word. During 1928, Lazar Nason, Petro Stavro, and 2 other brothers traveled from the United States to Albania to show the photodrama of creation. At the same time, a Catholic priest and an Orthodox priest from the United States were also in Albania, visiting King Zog I. Beware, the Catholic priest cautioned Zog, Men have come from America to cause you trouble." The Orthodox priest, however, disagreed. He knew the brothers because not long before this, they had left his very church in Boston. "If everyone in Albania were like these men," he told Zog, "you wouldn't have to lock your palace doors." "Then leave them alone," replied Zog, "and don't bother them." During that same year, Songs of Praise to Jehovah was printed in Boston in Albanian, and as a result, the brothers in Albania eventually learned the melodies and words of the songs it contained. Two favorites were "Fear Not, O Little Flock," and "To the Work," songs that fortified the brothers in the difficult years that followed. Albanians in general do not mince words, and they appreciate frank speech. What others may consider to be a sharp conversation is to Albanians often normal, animated communication. Albanians who feel strongly about a certain matter not only eagerly share their opinions, but also often speak and act on them with strong conviction. These traits have certainly influenced their reaction to the good news. Difficulties produce positive results. On account of increasing political and economic problems, more Albanians were leaving the country, and some of them were learning the truth in New England and New York. Wherever there was a concentration of Albanians, the truth flourished. Eager for more literature, the brothers rejoiced to receive the booklets Kingdom and The Crisis in Albanian. At the same time, authorities in Albania had confiscated some of our literature. In 1934, however, the bulletin, now Our Kingdom Ministry, reported from Albania, "With great joy we write to you that an order has just been issued from the Secretary of Justice to all the provinces, to the effect that all our literature is from now on free for circulation. All books and booklets which have been seized by the different prefects have been restored to the brethren. Now 7 brethren have hired an automobile and are visiting the distant cities with books, while the other brethren are working in places nearby." As a result, in 1935 and 1936, the brothers placed over 6,500 pieces of literature. Believed to be the most widespread broadcast in history. "What is believed to be the most widespread broadcast in history will be attempted," announced the British newspaper Leeds Mercury in early 1936. "The occasion will be a speech at Los Angeles by Judge Rutherford, the evangelist." J.F. Rutherford, who took the lead among Jehovah's Witnesses at the time, was to deliver a discourse that would be transmitted throughout the United States and Great Britain by radio telephone and relayed to a number of European countries. "There is one European country in which the speech will certainly not be heard," concluded the Mercury article. "That is Albania, which has no telephone service." A few weeks after the discourse, however, Nicolas Christo in the Albanian congregation in Boston wrote to the world headquarters, "We wish to inform you that from communications recently received from Albania, Judge Rutherford's speech on separating the nations was heard in that land, thus adding another country to the already long list of those that heard it. It was picked up at 2 different places, apparently by shortwave transmission. The friends were thrilled beyond expression at hearing Judge Rutherford's voice." How were the Albanian publishers conducting their meetings before the Watchtower was published in Albanian? Most Albanians who embraced the truth were men who had attended Greek schools in southern Albania, so they had no difficulty studying the Greek Watchtower. Others studied it in Italian or French. While the meetings were held in Albanian, the brothers translated the literature as they went along. In Boston, too, the Monday night Albanian Watchtower study was conducted with a Greek edition of the magazine. Nevertheless, many brothers taught their children well, and years later their sons and daughters, nieces and nephews, grandchildren and great-grandchildren became full-time servants. In fact, the Albanian brothers became so well known for their zealous witnessing that people began calling them ungjëllor, meaning evangelizers. Those in high places get a witness. In 1938, 1 year before King Zog's monarchy was overthrown, two of his sisters traveled to Boston. In December, the magazine Consolation, now Awake, reported, "When the Albanian princesses came to Boston, two of us from the Albanian unit of the Boston Company of Jehovah's Witnesses called at their hotel and presented them with a message of God's kingdom. They received us very kindly." The two witnesses were Nicolas Christo and his sister Lena. They met not only the princesses, but also five other dignitaries, including the then Albanian ambassador to the United States, Faik Konica. Prior to the meeting, an Albanian testimony card was read to the group, explaining how extensively the truth was being preached among Albanians. "We are glad to inform you," it stated in part, "that this message has also been proclaimed in Albania for many years, and tens of thousands of books have been placed in the hands of the officials and the people of Albania for their enlightenment and comfort." Ambassador Konica said to the princesses, "It is their wish that you use your influence that their preaching go on unmolested in Albania. Theirs is a new faith, and they believe that the world, or present world organization, will soon come to an end, and after that, Christ shall reign, and then even the dead will be resurrected." How did Mr. Konica know so much about the kingdom message? Consolation explained that it was because a witness, prior to coming into the truth years ago, knew him well, and had on several occasions discussed the truth with him. World War II brings tests. During the 1930s, Italy took control of Albania, and King Zog and his family fled the country in 1939. The invading fascist military from Italy banned our literature and made it illegal for the 50 publishers to preach. In the summer of 1940, some 15,000 pieces of literature were confiscated. On August 6, in Kultur, the fascists arrested nine of the brothers and confined them in a 6-by-12-foot cell. Later, they were moved to a prison in Tehran. They were detained for 8 months without a trial and then received sentences ranging from 10 months to 2.5 years. Under these circumstances, prisoners had to get food from their families. But in this case, the breadwinners who usually provided for their families were in jail. How would they provide for themselves? "We got 30 ounces of dry bread, 7 pounds of coal, and a bar of soap every 15 days, remembers Nasho Dori. "Yanni Comino and I had enough money for 2 pounds of beans. We used the coal to boil the beans, which other prisoners then offered to buy by the spoonful. Pretty soon we had 5 big pots of beans going. We eventually had enough money to buy some meat." In the winter of 1940-1941, Greek armies invaded southern Albania and forced men there to join them. In one village, when a brother refused, saying that he was neutral, the soldiers dragged him by the hair and beat him until he passed out. "Are you still disobedient?" snapped the commanding officer when the brother regained consciousness. "I am still neutral," said the brother. Frustrated, the soldiers let him go. Several days later, the officer went to the home of the brother whom he had tortured and commended him for his courage. "A few days ago, I killed 12 Italians and received a medal," he said. "But I have a guilty conscience, and I am ashamed to wear it. I keep the medal in my pocket because I know that it is a sign of criminal activity." New rulers, the same tests. Amid the battles and turmoil of the war, the Albanian Communist Party was stealthily gaining a foothold, despite the fascist struggles to keep control. In 1943, soldiers fighting against the communists captured a brother, threw him into a truck, took him to the battle lines, and handed him a rifle. He refused it. "You are a communist," screamed the commander. "If you were a Christian, you would fight just like the priests do." The commander ordered the soldiers to kill the brother. Just as the firing squad was about to shoot, another officer came by and asked what was going on. Learning about the brother's neutral stand, he gave a counter order not to shoot, and the brother was set free. In September 1943, the fascists withdrew and the German armies invaded, killing 84 people in Tehran in just one night. Hundreds were sent to concentration camps. Meanwhile, the brothers typed out messages of hope and encouragement from the Bible. When a person finished reading the typewritten message, he was asked to return it so that it could be offered to someone else. Then, using the few booklets they had hidden, the brothers just kept preaching. They preached with only parts of the Bible and did not have a complete Bible translation until the mid-1990s. 15 brothers had served prison sentences by 1945. Two of them had been sent to concentration camps, where one of them was tortured to death. Ironically, while the brothers in Albania were being persecuted for not joining the Axis forces, some Albanian brothers in the United States were imprisoned for not fighting against the Axis forces. In war-torn Albania, confiscated literature was being held at a customs house. In the fury of a battle nearby, the building collapsed, flinging much of our literature into the street. Afterward, curious passers-by picked up books and booklets and started reading them. The brothers did not waste any time collecting the remaining literature. In 1944, German forces withdrew from Albania, and the Communist Army established a provisional government. Immediately, the brothers applied for permission to reprint booklets, but their request was denied. "The Watchtower attacks the clergy," the brothers were told, "and in Albania, we still recognize the clergy." The war ends, but persecution continues. The new communist administration imposed high taxes and took over property, factories, businesses, shops, and cinemas. People were not allowed to buy, sell, or rent land, and all produce had to be turned over to the state. On January 11, 1946, Albania declared itself the People's Republic of Albania. The Communist Party won elections and established its government with Enver Hoxha as chief of state. More schools were opened and children were being taught to read, though the government did not want anyone to read any literature that did not promote communism. Our publications were seized, and the government also confiscated the small supply of paper and the few typewriters that the brothers had. Each time the brothers made attempts to get approval to publish literature, they were rebuffed and threatened. But they stood firm. "Jehovah has given us the responsibility to inform the Albanian people about his divine purpose," they told the authorities, "and you are prohibiting us. Now the responsibility rests on your head." The implicit response from the government was, "Here in Albania, we are the lords. We do not permit theocracy, and we cannot be bothered with you or your God, Jehovah, whom we do not acknowledge." Undaunted, the brothers continued sharing the good news wherever and whenever they could. Voting became compulsory in 1946, and anyone who dared to abstain was considered an enemy of the state. Laws were passed that prohibited meetings, and it was a crime to preach. How did the brothers respond? The brothers in Tehran, who numbered about 15, organized a preaching campaign in 1947. Immediately they were arrested. Their Bibles were ripped up, and they were tortured. When released, they were ordered not to travel anywhere without police authority. Newspapers ridiculed Jesus and Jehovah. The Albanian brothers in Boston learned about this, and on March 22, 1947, they wrote a respectful two-page letter to Enver Hoxha in behalf of Jehovah's Witnesses in Albania. They explained that Jehovah's Witnesses are no threat to the government and pointed out that religious opposers had fomented false accusations because our publications rightly expose their unchristian practices. The letter concluded, "When the Albanian delegation to the United Nations under the direction of Mr. Capo made a visit to Boston, we visited his hotel. Mr. Capo graciously and genuinely received us, and without bias listened to our message." Hüsnü Capo was for years one of the highest-ranking authorities in Albania. Despite this appeal, problems in Albania only increased. In 1947, Albania became allied with the Soviet Union and Yugoslavia and had conflicts with Greece. The following year, Albania cut ties with Yugoslavia and drew closer to the Soviet Union. Anyone who did not support the government's ideology was ostracized. The brothers' neutral stand elicited increased opposition and antagonism. For example, in 1948, six brothers and sisters were gathered for the memorial in a small village. The police burst into the meeting and beat the publishers for hours before they let them go. A couple of weeks later, the police arrested the brother who had given the memorial talk and kept him standing for 12 hours. At midnight, the chief of police snapped, "Why did you break the law?" "We cannot put the state's law above the law of the Lord," responded the brother. Incensed, the chief slapped the brother, asking, "What are you doing?" when he saw the brother turning his head to the side. "I told you before that we are Christians," replied the brother. "Jesus taught us that when someone hits you, you should turn the other cheek." "Because your Lord thus commands," snarled the infuriated chief, "I will not obey him, and I will not hit you anymore. Get out of here."